When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." I titled this message, "Why We Can't Do God's Work, But We Can Do Our Part." My other title is Turning Points. Turning Points. Paul the Apostle, he faced turning points on his missionary journey. We all face turning points in our lives as followers of Jesus. Turning points. You know, these are these defined moments of faith. They come through life circumstances or through God giving a revelation or simply because all of a sudden it just clicks. It just turns on and we recognize that, aha, that's God. However they happen, you and I know that in those moments, God's got us. God's got this circumstance. God is calling you and me. God is giving us the opportunity to follow. Turning points. Louis Palau, he is an Argentine-born international evangelist, and he describes one of those turning points to him as a young man. "I met a young Jewish Christian from England, about 20, by the name of Charlie Cohen. He led me to Jesus Christ at a summer camp. And for the next year or so, while I was at boarding camp, I went to a really good Bible study at Cohen's house. But I began to drift away. Stupid teenager me, I lost my Bible on a streetcar. It became a two-year empty moment. I had friends who were not Christians, and I wanted to accommodate them. We had plans to go to Carnival, a week of debauchery and drinking before the holy season. I began to feel if I went to this, it would wreck my life. It would be a turning point. I had not prayed for many months, although I went to church under the dress of my grandpa and grandma mostly. The night before we were to leave, I just felt compelled to pray. I did not have the strength to just say no to my friends, but I knew it would be a huge mistake to go with them. So I prayed, 'Lord, if you get me out of this, I will break with the world and serve you.' A most amazing thing happened. I woke up the next morning and my mouth was swollen the size of a tennis ball, which I took as a rather dramatic answer to my prayer. I called one of the other guys and was able to tell him that I was not going to go, and that morning was a new beginning. I bought a new Bible and left Buenos Aires to move to Cordoba, where my mom and four sisters were living, and the next few years brought a remarkable time of spiritual growth." Turning points. So maybe they come as some crazy answers to prayer. Be careful what you're praying. Or they might be a subtle but really clear calls. You know, one of those clear calls was a sermon for me. I was listening to Pastor Dan. He was an interim pastor at Hope Presbyterian Church in Spicer. During the message, I was listening with no particular interest and sitting in the pew with the kids while Cheryl was playing at the piano. This was many years ago. Pastor Dan was preaching, and to be honest, I have no idea what he was preaching about, but he spoke a turning point in the middle of that sermon. That all of a sudden it just clicked with me. He said, "If you're going a direction and it seems that no matter what you do, you keep running up against a wall, then maybe you're going the wrong direction." That simple phrase just awakened in my spirit. I thought for the first time that maybe I had a different call. And it was a catalyst for me to begin to explore what it would mean to be a pastor. So it was subtle. Really, just listening to a pastor's message on an ordinary Sunday morning, but it was clear, and I had no doubt it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. It was a turning point. I've heard about these also described as Kairos moments. These are God moments, when the Holy Spirit is powerfully connecting the dots, when God's working in our lives and we know it. We sense it, we feel it, there's no doubt. This is God. You and I, we know that these are God moments, Kairos moments. We know life is never going to be the same again, all because we've experienced a turning point with God. So I don't believe that these turning points are reserved for future pastors or future international evangelists. I believe that the Holy Spirit is working through every one of us, every one of you right now. Maybe you already identify with one or more of these in your life. Maybe you have experienced a God moment when you're fully conscious of God at work through you or around you or in you or calling you. And you're confident. It's a clear call from God. You know, my advice this morning is listen. My advice this morning is respond to follow that call. Because when we do, and you do, you will experience what you're really made for. But just have never yet been able to put your finger on, haven't been yet able to find what you're made for. And if you're not sure about what you're sensing, it's like, I don't know if this is a Kairos moment or I really ate too much last night at the parties and not sure. You know, then go talk to a mature Christian who can give you some guidance and direction in that. Describe it and talk about maybe, is this God at work? Turning points. The Covenant Church has affirmations that uniquely describe us as followers of Jesus. And one of these affirmations, I believe, is lived out in these turning points, these Kairos moments, these realizations where God is at work. And the affirmation or distinctive is called a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. So before we do that, you know, I think that that we may recognize or already have turning points in our lives, and we are struggling on whether to respond or not. If you're in that place, I just want to encourage you, follow Jesus. But better than that, I want you to encourage each other, follow Jesus. You know, we say we're followers making followers of Jesus, but in order to do that, we have to what? Follow Jesus. So I encourage you to turn to your neighbor right now and just say to them, follow Jesus, okay? Just encourage them, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. That was odd. All right. Here's a quick description of a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. The Covenant Church that affirms the Trinitarian understanding of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, we understand God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The DC class, the confirmation class, you learned this, you gave your statements of faith about this. We believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the New Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit works both within individuals and among them, so we become aware of God's work in and around us. So we believe it is the Holy Spirit who instills in our hearts a desire to turn to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit's work that brings us to become followers. So if you're a follower, that's because the Holy Spirit is at work in your life bringing you to that place. It is the Holy Spirit who assures us that Christ dwells within us. It's the Holy Spirit who enables our obedience to Christ, to be conformed to his image. So if you feel like you're walking with Jesus, or as Katie talked about how, you know, if you feel that prompting to do something good, that is the Holy Spirit at work in our lives to do all of this. And finally, it is the Holy Spirit in us who enables us to continue Christ's mission in the world. So the Holy Spirit, he gives spiritual gifts to individuals and puts us together in the church, together to be the hands and feet of Christ in the world. So Emma's being sent out as part of the church of Christ in the world. So it is the Holy Spirit who enables us in this mission. So what's our takeaway? Well, you and I can't do God's work in the world. Kind of a strange statement, is it? You and I can't do God's work in the world apart from God. We can only do it with God, God's work through him. But, you know, with God, all things are possible. So when we are working through God, God's working through us, and we're working with him, then all things are possible. Amazing things can begin to take place. And if it's God's doing it, anything can be a turning point in the Holy Spirit's hands. So we become consciously dependent on the Holy Spirit. You and I want to keep asking the question, Holy Spirit, where are you leading me? Right? Holy Spirit, where are you leading me? I want you to say that phrase with me, okay? It's a prayer. Holy Spirit, where are you leading me? Holy Spirit, Where are you leading me? A constant, conscious prayer that we're asking God. And then listening to the answer, and we will begin to experience these turning points in our lives. You know, in the first chapter of Acts, we read that Jesus is leaving his disciple. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. So he's telling them, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go up to heaven after the resurrection. He's been with them a while. They're pretty excited about all this. They're waiting to see what God's going to do. And now Jesus says, I'm leaving, and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You know, they don't receive this originally as good news. It's kind of like, wait a minute. We just got you back. We, you know, we want to see some amazing things happen. We want to see what you're going to do next. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, I'm out of here. And so he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And they are a little distraught. But he's instead planning for his disciples to be transformed so that the Holy Spirit can do great things in him. Jesus isn't planning to stay to do great things. He's planning to send the Spirit to do great things in his disciples. So the plan is God's work through the Holy Spirit in them. It's still the plan today. Sean Marshall, he is in the Department of Congregational Vitality in the Evangelical Covenant Church, and he asked this question. I think it's a good one. What great things do you sense that the Holy Spirit could do in your life if you are consciously dependent on him? What great things do you sense the Holy Spirit could do in your life if you are consciously dependent on him? Are you experiencing a turning point in your life? We're going to look at the Bible again. It says that Paul, he's experiencing a turning point. He's realizing that he can't do God's work without God's guidance and direction and empowerment. So Paul finds out it's always God's work. The church is growing through Paul's witness and through his companions. The Bible says the Lord was adding to their numbers daily, those who were being saved. Right before this passage, it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. So God is at work in all this. That work is opening people's hearts to the gospel. And the message is that God's Son, Jesus, came and died for our sins. And so the message Paul and his companions proclaim is just that. Charles Spurgeon, he says that this is the ultimate turning point of humanity, this message, this accomplishment of Christ. All historians must confess that the turning point of the race is the cross of Christ. It would be impossible to fix any other hinge of history. From that moment, the power of evil received its mortal wound. It dies hard, but from that hour, it was doomed. The gospel, the cross, evil is crushed, sin is forgiven. So the disciples' role in all this is telling it, right? Proclaiming it. And he does. The church is strengthened and encouraged and grows wherever God's at work. So then the question simply becomes, where? Where is God at work? Do you ever ask that question? Where? Around me. Where is God at work? Where have you seen, with your eyes, really think about this, where have you seen God at work this week? Where have you actually seen God at work? What circumstances or incidents caused someone around you to think about God this week? And then how did the Holy Spirit work in you through that to share the good news? Or how could the Holy Spirit be working in you now through that circumstance or situation to share the good news in the days to come? I have to say that, you know, as a pastor, I'm expected to share the good news, right? That's expected of me. But I have seen this week, or heard this week, some amazing examples of you sharing God's love with boldness that I wouldn't know even how to do. It's amazing. I'm just awed by how I see you responding to those turning points in other people's lives. Amazed, grateful. So how can we share God's love? How can we let them know? How can we let others know that God loves them, that God forgives them, that God's got this for them, that God's calling them, that God's inviting them into his family? The Apostle Paul, he understood the Holy Spirit moment And as we read about it in the book of Acts again, I want to throw up a map here because there's a lot of names and a lot of places, and it really doesn't make much sense until you kind of see it on a map. So as you read this map, read it from right to left. You see Jerusalem down there in the red, and the disciples, Paul's journeys go out, and he's up in Galatia in the green, and he wants to go down into Asia Minor. You see that place that says no go. And he wants to go there, but he can't go. So he goes to Troas on the left, and he moves up to Philippi in the top center, Macedonia. That's where God is sending him. So as we read this, these are some of the places. So Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. No go spot. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Why would God, the Holy Spirit, keep them out of any place? Why keep them out of Asia? Isn't the idea that the message is supposed to go out to the whole world around the globe? Why in the world would the Holy Spirit keep them from going where they wanted to go to preach the gospel? You know, I had this question, so I researched it and I looked to find the answer, and you know what I came up with? I don't know. I really don't. I don't know. It doesn't really tell us. It just says that God's plan wasn't for that at that time. So the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them go. We don't really know why. We don't really know how he prevented them from going even. You know, maybe there was too much opposition. Maybe they got, you know, ate some bad shrimp and didn't feel good. Maybe they tried, but it didn't work out. It just really doesn't say. I don't know why. But they weren't able to go. They weren't effective in sharing the gospel. And they attributed all that to the Lord's doing. You ever feel like that? It's a no-go. God won't let me. Just isn't working. Maybe there's a different plan. Maybe there's a different direction. Lord, what are you doing? What's your plan? But whatever the reason, it did lead them to a divinely directed encounter with the Holy Spirit, where God did intend his work to begin. So during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. You ever had that vision? Somebody standing begging, come, help us. I'd be surprised if you did, but some of you maybe do. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So a scholar writes about this passage saying, authentic turning points in history are few. But surely among them, that of the Macedonian vision ranks high. Because of Paul's obedience at this point, the gospel went westward, and ultimately Europe and Western world were evangelized. That's us, right? Because of Paul's obedience, here we sit today. Christian response to the call of God is never a trivial thing. Indeed, as in this instance, great issues and untold blessings may depend on it. You know, if we're intent on doing God's work without God, we might as well not do it because it's just not going to work. We can't do God's work. But if we want to participate with God in the work God is doing, then we want to be clear on where God is at work and listen to his call. We can only come alongside what God is doing in God's work. And that work is opening hearts. God's work is opening hearts. Our role is sharing the message. You know, we heard from Emma today. And as I talk about this, I think about, you know, when and where did Emma hear God's call to join him? You know, there maybe was a stirring long ago, but she shared about how, you know, when she always had this desire to go, and when she did, God captured her heart. I mean, that's a compelling story, Emma. It's a compelling vision. It's amazing. So what is your turning point? How is the Holy Spirit calling you to join him in his work? How will you consciously depend now on the Holy Spirit in that Kairos moment? And think about this. What history-altering moment has God placed you in? History-altering. A teacher shares this illustration. He says, a young man named Peter reminded me of a modern-day Philip. Philip was an evangelist early on in the book of Acts in the Bible. The teacher says, I stopped into a McDonald's in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I noticed Peter working behind the counter. I recognized him from our young adult ministry at church, and I knew he had just graduated from Harvard University with a master's degree. I greeted him and managed to get him to break away for a cup of coffee. What are you doing here? I asked, knowing that Harvard's master's degree students don't usually aspire to work behind the counter at McDonald's. Well, he explained, I graduated in May, but I went 4 months without finding a job, so I said to myself, I need some income to pay the bills. So this is where I've ended up, at least for now. Sorry to hear that. It must be hard, I replied, but Peter, he cut me off. Oh, no, don't be sorry. God has me here. This place is giving me awesome opportunities to share my faith. I'm on a shift that includes a Buddhist guy from Sri Lanka, a Muslim fellow from Lebanon, a Hindu lady from India, and a fellow Christian from El Salvador. It's awesome. I get to be a global missionary to my coworkers while asking, would you like fries with that? Where's your turning point? You know, this passage continues with Paul's companions. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. You know, this was the custom of Jewish believers when there wasn't a synagogue in the area, then they would gather at a place of prayer, traditionally by a river or water. And here, women were gathering in that tradition to pray. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. You know, I talked about names and places being unfamiliar in the Bible, and it's hard to kind of understand what's going on, but the city of Thyatira is actually in the province of Asia Minor, the very place that Paul wanted to go share the gospel, Asia Minor. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. Instead, he sent him across the water to Macedonia, to Philippi, where there he found a person, Lydia, from Asia Minor, to share the gospel with. And God opened her heart, and she responded. An entirely different place where God is at work. For the same reason Paul wanted to. God had a plan. So this next verse is important. We pay attention to what happens. So Lydia was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the message. That's God's work, opening hearts to respond to the message. We have the message. God opens the hearts. God is doing the work. It seems from later texts that Lydia's house, it becomes kind of the center of the Macedonian church and becomes one of Paul's dearest churches throughout his later letters. And the gospel goes out from that very place to the outer worlds. Turning points. The passage finishes up. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay by my house. And she persuaded us. A turning point. Are you facing turning points in your life today? Is your walk with Jesus revealing one of those places, one of those God moments? Well, let me encourage you. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Follow Jesus. Turn to the person next to you again and encourage them. Follow Jesus. Tell them one more time. Follow Jesus. Follow him. Follow him. Follow Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege of containing this amazing message of your love in us and then sending us out to be your hands and feet in a world that so desperately needs to know you. And so, Lord, give us the same kind of boldness that you gave Emma. Maybe not to travel to Haiti, but Lord, to travel across the street, to be your hands and feet, to share the good news and watch you respond. Thank you for your turning points. In Jesus' name, amen.